Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our Old Testament lesson from the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at the fourth verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, one of my favorite Bible verses, Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses speaking, he says, "The Lord humbled you, the Lord let you be hungry, and the Lord fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." A listening heart. A listening heart. Of all the things that Solomon could have asked the Lord for, that is what he asks for. He's 20 years old, and the Lord comes to him in a dream. And the Lord says, "Ask of me what I will give to you." And Solomon is 20 years old, and he could have asked for a lot of things. Matter of fact, the Lord even lists them, the things that he could have asked for. He could have asked for a long life. He could have asked for a lot of money or riches. He could have asked for military glory and honor. He could have asked to be a great commander. He could have asked God to let him lead the troops, to let him be a hero. All kinds of things that will wind a young man's clock. But Solomon's 20 years old, and it's a confusing time. It's a confusing age. A few of us here today look ahead to 20 years old, but most of us look back at perhaps at some distance to being 20 years old. But you can remember, it's a confusing time. On one hand, you have the answer for everything. You have it all figured out. You know what life should be about. You know what people should do. You know how the government should act. You know exactly how things should be until you're terrified, until you're scared because you don't know anything at all and you don't have things figured out and you don't know how to handle things. It is a confusing time. And Solomon, 20 years old, asks for, and this is what it literally says, a listening heart. I don't know why our version, our translation, translates it as an understanding mind. Because that's not what it says. The original is much more descriptive. It says, "God grant me a listening heart." And you can tell what phase he's in. He's not in the self-confident phase. He is in the scared, silly phase. And with good reason. Because David, his father, has passed away. And Solomon is now the king. And David had a long reign. And he was a man of varied experience, civil experience, military experience. He was a man, above all, who through relentless humbling and testing had learned in God's school, as we all have to in one form or another, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Solomon, though, was different. He was raised in the palace. He had lived a pampered life up till the age of 20, and now he's the king. And Solomon says to the Lord, "I have to admit, Lord, I am a na'ar katon." Na'ar, young man, katon, small. Put them together. I'm a small young man. We put it this way. I'm just a kid, Lord. I'm baby-faced. I can't even grow a beard. And now he's the king. And he's finding out that the crown is too big for his head. He doesn't fit into it. Now understand that for them, a king is a little different than our conception. We think of a king, what do we think of? We think of the King of England. King of England is a ceremonial post for the most part. But a king back in ancient times, what are you? You are the government, and you are all the branches of the government. You are the executive branch. You are the legislative branch. You are the Supreme Court, all rolled into one. All the serious decisions of the kingdom are laid at your doorstep, and your decisions, even the ones that seem the easiest and most innocent, because those are the ones you got to watch out for, your decisions will set a bunch of dominoes tipping over, going all along in a line. They will have far-reaching consequences, unpredictable consequences, and you are in a position, a unique position, where you can do a great deal of good, or you can do a great deal of harm. And Solomon prays, Lord, give me a listening heart. A listening heart. To listen to what? Well, I think the simplest initial explanation is give me a listening heart, because a king, like a good judge, has to be able to listen to what people are saying. He has to be able to hear both sides of a case impartially. He has to see through. He has to discern when people are being deceptive. He has to ponder possible consequences. Your ear always has to be open before your mouth is, otherwise you get into trouble. And so he says, yes, Lord, give me a listening heart. But there's more to it than that. He says also, Lord, give me a listening heart to you. To you. I don't mean that I have to have dreams and visions and signs, although the Lord gave a couple of those to him. Most of the time, that isn't the case for a Christian person. Most of the time, it's just faith. Faith to turn away from what the Lord does not say, faith to turn toward what the Lord does say. And of course, that happens only by the Holy Spirit. Only when the Holy Spirit is at work. That's what Solomon's father David knew. He found it out the hard way. He finally had to say Psalm 86, Lord, teach me your way. Teach me your way that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, not going both directions. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. And so give me, Lord, a listening heart. Now, going with our translation, a person might say, well, I think Solomon was asking the Lord for wisdom, but I'm going to suggest something different. I'm going to suggest to you that Solomon already has wisdom. He already has wisdom, even though he's only 20 years old. I mean, he doesn't know much, but he knows the two important things. He knows his own lack. He knows his own need. And he knows the Lord, that the Lord is the only way through all of that. He knows what he doesn't have, and he knows what he does have. And isn't that our Christian faith? What don't you have? You don't have righteousness or goodness before God. You're a sinner. But what do you have? You have your Savior Jesus. You're washed clean in his shed blood. How does the hymn go? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood is shed for me. You know what you don't have, but you know what you do have. And so, book of Deuteronomy, the Lord humbled you. The Lord let you be hungry. And then the Lord fed you with manna, which you did not know, and your fathers didn't know it, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He did this so that he might humble you and test you to do good for you. In the end, that's God's will, to do good for you in the end. That's always his purpose, even if the way of getting there is not an easy way to go. And I have never seen it to be an easy way to go, God's path. It isn't a smooth path. It is a difficult path to go on. Matter of fact, think about our faith. How difficult was our salvation? What had to happen? Our Lord Jesus had to suffer. He had to die on the cross to take away our sins, to atone for us. But of course, you don't ever see that until you see your lost condition first. that God might make you know that man does not live on bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Man lives by every gracious act that comes from the hand of the Lord, because the Lord is generous, and he wants to give to his people only the best of blessings. Only the best. Now, of course, that's the way it should work. That's the way things should work. That's the natural progression of things, that you start out being foolish and you end up being wise. Isn't that the way of things? Folly is bound up where? The book of Proverbs. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Book of Psalms. Lord, forgive me the sins of my youth. That's where foolishness is. But then comes wisdom. But not always. And Solomon is the poster child for not always. For him, it was just the opposite. He started out wise, and then he ended up foolish. To begin with, he knew his sin, and he held on to his Savior. But like countless people before him and countless people after him, even to this day, maybe Solomon became too wise, too honored, too talented, too skillful, no longer needing to listen to the simple things that God says, the simple warnings, the simple words of grace. And so it is that when you open your Bible, we're told there that in his old age, Solomon had his heart turned away from the Lord. His many wives that he married, it says that they turned his heart from the Lord to other gods. But lest we blame just the wives, we want to recognize that the sin happened before that, because the Lord had said in his holy word, don't marry them. Don't go off with these other gals who don't know the Lord, who come from other kingdoms, who come from other belief systems. Don't go with them. But by that time, maybe Solomon was too wise, too smart, too talented, too educated, too learned to any longer have a listening heart to the Lord. And so, to his dying day, Solomon kept his intelligence. He kept his talent. He kept his skill. He kept his learning, he kept his curiosity, he kept his cleverness, he kept his breadth of knowledge, he kept his openness to new experiences, he kept his insight, he kept his recognition, he kept his honor, he kept his glory, he kept his renown, everything that this world gives a big round of applause to. Not only that, there was still so much gold in his kingdom that silver, as the Bible says, was accounted to be nothing. He still kept all those things. But he lost his wisdom. He lost his wisdom because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? And so, ask, what shall I give you? That's what the Lord said to him. And maybe for you and me today, we could ask the question, what's my answer? What's my answer? What if the Lord would ask me that question? Ask what I shall give to you. What if he asks you the question? Wait a second. He already did say that to you. He said what? Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given to you. Book of James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask his Father in heaven, who gives generously to all who call upon him. Ask what I shall give you. The Lord said the same thing to you, so what are you going to answer? Well, Lord, I always wanted to live a long life. Lord, I want to have good health. Lord, I want wealth. Lord, I want riches. I want renown. I want recognition. Lord, I want love. I want understanding. I want appreciation. Anything else you could ask for? How about a listening heart? A listening heart. A heart that listens to when God rebukes you for your sin, because he has to. but a heart that also listens for news about Jesus and his pardon, a heart that listens and treasures what is of lasting profit. Ask which I shall give to you. Lord, grant to your servant a listening heart, a heart that looks only for your voice. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.